CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons. A special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, in studio, Jackie Hearn.
What? Hi, Roberto. Thank you. Oh, that looks horrible.
Yeah, that looks bad.
It's so squinched. Thank you so much, Roberto. I am so excited. I'm always excited to do this show. Thank you for having me back on.
Well, it's kind of fun because, like, right now... Yes, when this is recorded, we could talk about stuff. But like right now, like my brain is trying to look at the next thing, because like the next thing that's on the horizon for me is on the 11th. I'm doing my Extra Life stream, and I'm like looking straight at that big giant, 24-hour window that I have to figure out what games to play and how I'm going to play them. Even though I think I know what I'm going to play and what I'm going to start off with, but it's becoming kind of weird of like of how my brain is working. What the hell is that? Let's address the puppet in the room.
It is Dr. Brown.
Dr. Emmett Brown, if you will. Mm-hmm. Which Emmett Brown is he, though? Is he – the question goes this. Is it Back to the Future 1 Emmett Brown? Is it Back to the Future Part 2 Emmett Brown? Or
– I guess you will have to ask Justin Robert Young because it's a puppet I made for his
– it's
Santa, you're drunk.
It's album. Important because – and this is where the weird distinction gets. This is – in Back to the Future Part 2, there's a line that he says, and the writers actually put this in specifically because of where Back to the Future Part 3 was going to go. There's a line he says in the movie where he says he's like that he had a change of blood, that he got all his skin taken care of. Like he did a whole bunch of stuff to extend his life for like 20 years. and he's like, how do I look? So it's a matter of it. Is it old Doc Brown? Or has gone to the 2015, I think it was 2015. Was it 20? I forget what year it was. It was, I think it's this year, 2015 or 20.
Oh, it was 2015. It was, yeah October 11th or
yeah.
15th
you go
or
2015.
It was last year or right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alt history 2015 because, we're in a strange alternate history right now. It's all important exactly which one because that will determine, whether the terrorists do him in or whether or not he just goes back to the old West. Why am I caring about what era, what puppet Doc Brown you have? What's happened to me?
I know. No, see, this is – no, you're coming to my end of the world, which is, I think I revealed in the first episode that I recorded of 8-Bit Life with you a little bit about like kind of what my real life is like.
Right.
The real life Jackie Hearn and the fact that I can't stand it. It kills me. It hurts me. I don't want to think about politics. I don't want to think about government. All I want to do is put some men's socks on my hands.
Do you realize how crazy that sounds? Eyes. Hold on. Let's pause. And typically, we don't talk politics at all in 8-Bit Life and nights. And we won't really talk that much politics because I don't really.
Sorry, I didn't mean to scream laugh. There.
No. But do you realize how insane that sounds? Like you say.
Yes. Do I know how insane I am? Yes, I do.
No, not how insane
Does that
you
mean
are.
That I am insane?
Not
I don't
how
know.
Insane you are, That's but how insane that sounds. The phrase you just stated, I would rather put men's socks on my. Hands and talk through them. Like that's like that's the kind of stuff you hear when it's a psychologist. So tell me on the doll where mommy touched you, and it's just like mommy touched me.
I just happened to have a bag of googly.
Tell her where daddy touched you. Daddy grabbed me by the. We'll just leave it like that.
That's pretty much how I feel after the work I did in government for so long, you know, with government and in agencies, and then also as a private consultant. I don't want it in my life anymore. I don't want the heartache. I don't want the agony. I don't want to feel like I'm this person who can't speak their mind, you know? And that's exactly what I became. So,
it's interesting
anyways.
For me, because I will always do my best to be as diplomatic as possible and as
as much as
try to understand things as best as I can. Because a lot of this entire season of elections has been less about who was running and more about who was supporting them and why, and trying to find in my head sort of an understanding of things. I've actually talked with this within a very hidden pre-show for a pre-record for an episode coming out on Thanksgiving with Christy Cates, and most likely we're going to release that as a patron exclusive this week.
Just because it
makes a little more sense to release it this week than it would to release the week of. The episode itself will still be released Thanksgiving, because that's a golden piece of content that when that comes out, people, you may lose everything. And it was probably one of the best things I had recorded in a long, long time.
Wow. Well, Christy Cates is awesome.
It's an amazing episode, and you know, you'll all have to wait for it. I'm teasing it now, but it's an amazing piece of content. And I actually can't wait till my producer Ash hears it, because I think she may. One, there's not a whole lot of show notes for it, thankfully, and more importantly, two, it was the. Like, out of all the things I've made in 8-Bit Life's history, and I've been proud of many of things, and I'm always proud of anything I do, it was one of those ones that we're done with the call, and we're done with the cord, and Christy was like her eyes were aglow of just like, did that just happen?
So, what was this? What's the content
of this? You're just going to have to listen.
Oh.
I'm not giving this away. It's one of those moments in time that it would be almost impossible to reproduce, and I don't even know how we got to where we talked about.
That's fine. I get it. Your other guests are better than me.
but that being said, I only say that
because Christy and I are good friends. And,
but that being said, the thing we talked about in the pre-show is kind of like politics. So I was like, I had my kind of vent moment then, and then last night happened. But what was interesting, I guess I got to ask you this. This is the question. Even though we are talking about politics, I don't want to talk about who voted for who.
I agree.
A lot of people know where everyone stands on the political spectrum. So that's cool.
You know, and it doesn't matter in the end. Anyways.
No, but like. What was the because I'm not sure if you saw. Did you see the Van Jones speech, the thing he said on CNN? Was it Van Jones?
No.
I'd like to say it was Van Jones. Let me double check before I start.
Oh my goodness. Was that last night after?
Yeah. It was Van Jones.
You know what's funny? I wasn't listening because I was live streaming with the dudes from the VOD Squad. And we were live streaming the CNN coverage, and then we were doing a mystery theater 3000
MST3K.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And we were doing voiceovers as to what these knuckleheads were talking about. So I missed the whole thing. And then this morning I saw that it was like an issue. And I thought, oh, my God, we were just talking over their voices. And we probably did a better job.
Well, because Van Jones, like he – it was very interesting. It's even more interesting than I gave away. It was really interesting, kind of how he framed it, and I want to kind of find the actual the excerpt, because the way he worded it is, I think he called it the best way he called it, was
like white
a white lash.
What? Yeah, right. White lash.
Mm-hmm. It was such a like.
See, you so want to talk politics.
Well, because there's certain aspects I do want to talk about this. This is where this has nothing to do with who got voted in or anything like that. This is sort of talking about my entire. Because again, the patron exclusive will be more on my actual political views and kind of what I really feel about things. This is more about kind of how the whole election framed in my head, and sort of what a lot of my timeline has been kind of talking about, my Facebook timeline, my Twitter timeline, and sort of where all this kind of culminated was this, was it's the way he words is, it's hard to be a parent tonight for a lot of us. You tell your kids, don't be a bully. Yeah, you tell your kids, don't be a bigot. You tell your kids, do your homework and be prepared. And then you have this outcome, and you have people putting children to bed tonight, and they're afraid of breakfast. They're afraid of, how do I explain this to my children? And then he goes on to saying, he says, Muslim friends who are texting me tonight saying, should I leave the country? I have families of immigrants that are terrified tonight. He also goes on to saying, he talks about how there was a rebellion against elite, a complete reinvention of politics and polls. He says it was also something else. He says this was a white lash. This was a white lash against a changing country. It was a white lash against a black president in part. And that's the part where the pain comes. And it was a really weird. It was really interesting kind of seeing that and seeing that speech, because I was at work and I didn't watch CNN, and I don't really have cable television. It's one of those things when you hear it and you watch the thing, it sort of culminates all this stuff. It kind of gives this idea of how a lot of people view this election and how why there are a lot of people who are, very weirdly, irked by this whole thing. It almost has very little to do with who elected. It's more of how,
right, who's excluded from this,
right?
Who's feeling right now?
If you look at the the acceptance speech of Donald Trump, like he comes out saying, we got to unify. He does everything that a typical presidential candidate should. Even the point where he says he commends Hillary, like he doesn't say any of his usual rhetoric. Like he goes back to this weird, the default state of like, oh, well, now I'm president, now I'll be normal. And it's like, this is where it gets bizarre, is that how he got into this whole thing and how he became what he is, became this, larger than everything. And it started culminating because you started seeing a lot of, not so much out of people, the idea of here is where this, presidential candidate stands. Because again, at the end, we're always going to have differences, in terms of GOP, in terms of Democrats, in terms of Libertarian, in terms of Green Party. We're all going to have differences no matter what, because we all think our way is better, or we all kind of want to move forward in some capacity. That's fine. We could argue that all day long, and that becomes politics. But a lot of it was interesting, which is the idea of, here is a guy that took this very, very stark viewpoint, for whatever reason, because it seemed to be working, it seemed to make the sell, which I can't fault him for that. And everyone kind of bought it. And this is sort of where a lot of people are confused and sort of weirded out. Not because they think that this man couldn't, be the president. It's more of this is kind of where we are, and this is sort of what did it. And it's the idea of, I have a lot of I had a lot of friends of mine who are in the, LGBTQ community. I gotta make sure I get the acronym right, because I always get it wrong. In that community that are kind of scared. I have a lot of friends who are, Mexican, who are really scared. And a lot of it has nothing to do with the fact that this man is president. Because in the end, he may not be able to do anything he says he wanted to, he could do. He may not be able to build said wall. He may not be able to really eliminate the, NAFTA. He may, there may be times where he may not even be able to bring back your job that you were so desperately wanted, because it may have already been technologized out. There may already be a robot who's able to construct your car faster and more efficiently. I can't remember where I was hearing this before. I think it was on RT podcast, or talking about how Amazon had phased out some workers in some of their warehouses because the robots were able to do things faster. And if they had to have a robot there because like OSHA rules and stuff like that, which are totally cool. OSHA rules are very good and important. I'm never going to say that. But because of them, they lost efficiency. And so they said, well, if we got rid of these people, so to speak, we could do this faster and do it cheaper and do it more efficiently and do it with less overhead. And you know, if you look at business, you look at any business, you know, and this is really the really weird, the hard, you know, sick truth of it all. If you look at any business, especially publicly owned businesses or publicly traded businesses, whenever they want to make their earnings look better, whenever they want to make things look way rosier to investors, the first thing that goes is labor. They always cut jobs because it's the quickest way to have an infusion of money. That makes your books look better because you've now gotten rid of a whole bunch of salaries you don't have to pay. You've now gotten rid of a whole bunch of benefits you don't have to pay. You've gotten rid of a lot of these things. And the interesting thing is all of that kind of cultivated into this force that felt they needed someone to point the finger, some type of thing. And I think that's where it all kind of get this – the fear comes from is this idea of how do we as this group that knows how things kind of work – how do we explain to the people that don't want to know how things work or don't really have any interest of how things work? How do we calm them down to accept that change is going to happen? Because it's going to happen. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Change.
Fuck yeah, it's coming.
Well, it's not even that it's going to happen. It has and it will happen. That's just the nature of the world. It's funny because
okay.
No, go for it. Chime in.
No. Obviously this is kind of a, you know, every single election we've had throughout the entire history of the United States has had a very significant voter fraud issue. Right. That's always going to be the case. It's usually only when it draws the attention of people or it's a very close race that it becomes an issue, such as the 2000 election.
Right.
But this is obviously a referendum by people, or it's rigged. But it's definitely one way or the other. It's people saying they're sick and tired of this politics as usual. And I want, let me vote for the person who hosts a game show where people pack up their little black suitcases and roll them down the street.
I'll put it this way.
Obviously, the public saying that they want something so drastically different.
For sure.
I'm also taking in the fact that the Libertarian Party and the Green Party did significantly well for sure. Extra party.
I agree. It's interesting because, and I'm not going to hold anyone that views any sort of election,
easier to elect.
In other words, if they vote for Trump, rock and roll. If they didn't, rock and roll. I'm not going to hold that. If you vote for Harambe, though, I may Hitler. Take up entire issue with you. Yeah. You're 11,000 mm-hmm. people that wrote in Harambe, but that's because you had a chance to go one way or the other, and you chose the meme. You did it for the lulz. And if anyone knows how I feel about people doing things for the lulz, watch the Black Mirror episode, because that's exactly how I feel. But the thing we talk about and the only reason I bring it up –
Black Mirror Reflections on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
The reason why I bring it up is because I really want to understand. Like I realize, in the chat room, Dr. God Kingpin says I think he wrote Nope, it's a giant pile of corruption that made Hillary look that bad. And they're absolutely right. There is a little bit of that too. Although say this, and this is the only thing I say in my weird patron hidden thing that I'll bring in here. It is a weird, bizarre world I live in where GOP is spouting the praises of WikiLeaks. I just want to say that right now. It's a weird, bizarre world I live in right now. And that hasn't completely left my brain.
Sorry, oh God, I just snorted like a pig.
Well, because it's a weird, bizarre world that we have the GOP saying, I commend WikiLeaks, that if on any other occasion, if any Edward Snowden thing got leaked through via WikiLeaks, they would have been screaming, treason. And weird fucked up world we live in, but that's the universal world we live in.
True.
Anyways, fun times to talk about this sort of thing.
I know.
But in any case, to kind of go back to whole thing of that, it's, you know, for me, it's, I get that those people exist. Like, I've always known that those exist because, you grew up in, you have friends in Michigan and you grew up in a weird place where, where, businesses abandoned them and sort of gave that, you know, you come from a hometown, like my hometown is Flint, and only recently.
Oh, really? Been,
yeah, I was born in Flint. I grew up in Grand Blanc. Like, I grew up in that area. So I've had many of friends that have worked for GM and all these sort of things. So when you're like, you know,
oh, wow.
When you talk about these sort of things, I've lived in those communities before, and not necessarily as deep as that. My dad's a doctor, but, you know, Hurley Medical Center was the hospital, and you got to see all walks of life because of that, because everyone has kids. But it was – so a lot of that is more me trying to understand and trying to figure out ways of that, because I know deep down that a lot of the things that we have problems with may not be fixable in the way – that they think they can be fixable, because we're coming to the point now where, you know, we're not simply, I'll put it this way. This is a great way of kind of explaining it in a local issue. Here in Austin, Texas, we had recently voted some laws that Uber and Lyft felt were a bit restrictive, to the point where they just left ship.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that the drivers of Uber and Lyft are no longer, we're not employees, you know, with benefits, they're just contract freelance workers. All of them just lost their main source of income.
Yeah. No, actually, that was a little tiny point as to why I didn't go directly to Austin, and I bypassed and went to LA, or back to LA. Well, LA, the Los Angeles thing for me is a different story, but I don't know. We may or may not get into that.
No worries. But I mean, the point being is that that was a thing that got passed, and that was a business. And so
yeah,
the reason I bring that up is that just recently, you know, Uber put some reserves, if you will, for self-driving cars, and they're trying to get that tested. The self-driving car is not 5 years down the horizon. It's maybe two or three.
Right.
It's very, very,
very excited,
coming, which is awesome and amazing for tech and super crazy cool. But imagine
for alcoholics, it's
right,
amazing
for everybody. But imagine if you will, Uber says, you know what? Self-driving cars are legit now. Everything there. Let's replace our entire fleet with self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody who's an Uber and Lyft driver as their primary income source, poof, out of a job.
Yeah.
Let's put it even crazier. Let's go even stranger and even more peculiar. Let's say that there's the yellow cab, whatever taxi companies in your local area says, you know what? That's awesome too. We want to have that because we need to compete. And then we can have cars that drive all throughout the night. You can drink whatever and be fine. Poof, gone.
Right.
And then you go and say, okay, well, now we got that. Well, what about bus drivers? Bus drivers we have. Now we have to, you know, I've had friends who I've talked to who run trucking companies who I've told about the idea of self-driving trucks. And they're just like, that's insane. You mean I can have a driver that doesn't get sleepy, that won't try to cheat me out of money, that can do this sort of stuff? You know, all this stuff goes into these businesses because that's what their main mission is, people. You know, the people that run corporations aren't soulless, but the corporations themselves are. And that's totally fine. They're heartless beings that are just there to make money for investors if they're publicly traded.
Because the people behind it on the board, they can hide behind the corporation.
Right. The board can – and again, the people who run a company may not be soulless and heartless. They may – you know, that's a different story. But
they can hide right behind it.
Yeah. So my question goes like this is – we're going to start to come to a point very, very soon where a lot of these concerns are going to bubble up to the top, and there's not going to be anyone left to blame. There's not going to be anyone left to point to, because you can then point and say, well, it's technology's fault. It's the fact that we're accelerating technology too fast. And then you'll look at your cell phone. You'll look at your little smartphone as you're looking at Twitter and as you're going to watch your next YouTube video, realizing that the reason why is because – we buy these things. We use these things. We enjoy this stuff. And so a lot of it is, I'm wondering as that progresses further and further, because that's not going to change. That's going to actually go at a way faster pace than any political or social change ever will. What's going to happen to that populace then? You know, the populace that's sprung up today and voted accordingly, because they feel that this is what's going to help them in the long run, which is fine. I'm not judging that. My question is, what's going to happen to that populace when the robots do come, when we do get to the point where everything is automated, where we get to the point where
Why do you not watch Black Mirror?
Because I know this stuff. That's why, because I live it. I don't need to watch Black Mirror. I live the horror.
But dude, like it's therapeutic. It's so okay. All right, sorry.
No. I need to watch it. It's on my to watch list. It's again. It's a lot of it because
it's so therapeutic. Yeah. And if I didn't have a podcast where I had to go and analyze every fucking scene where there's any text and look at it and judge it based off of the I just it's so fucking therapeutic. We can curse on this show, right?
No, of course. And you know, but it's that kind of stuff that makes me wonder what's going to happen when that occurs, because right now, you know, we see this force, you know, and the way it's worded, a white lash, and I do agree, as a Hispanic male, people say that, I jokingly say that, but the idea being that there's this mass of people that I understand why they're hurting, because I get it, you know, people left you behind, and I know that's bad. We shouldn't have done that, and that was our fault. I just wonder how, you know, what's going to happen, because as jobs move back to America, which is cool and awesome, costs are going to rise and profit margins are going to shrink, and companies don't like when profit margins shrink. So they're going to figure out a way to innovate to make sure profit margins increase. And again, the quickest way to get profit margins increasing is either A, have cheaper labor, which is why we ship things to China, because we're kind of exploiting that, you know, in a capitalist society. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but just telling it like it is. Or we figure out a way to have less labor, to do things more efficiently. It's how, you know, if you look at every bit of history, not just simply, you know.
Will this be a burden that is lifted off of third world nations, or those nations where they basically enslave their employees by not giving them the kind of standards that, I don't want to sound so American, be like,
but I mean, like
right now, because we've got shit standards in the United States.
Well, because like right now we do. Beijing, they're dealing with a whole bunch of.
Yes, right. You think about all those people who are working in those horrible environments. Mm-hmm. Are we lifting a burden off of them by getting robots to do this, or what?
It's interesting because like right now, you know, we haven't had to deal with anything yet because China has yet to revolt in any mass way. That may change, because if you've kept up with what's happening in Beijing as of late, things may go wrong, and no matter what anyone else tells you, there are three Chinas. There's mainland China, there's Hong Kong, and there's Taiwan. Those are the three mm-hmm. Chinas that exist, even though China would rather tell you, like, no, it's all unified. No, it's not. And that's fine. So you look at what's happening in those sort of areas, neck of the woods. A lot of that is shifting, too, because certain ways of making money are shifting. Because, again, it's just the nature of things. People start to expect mm-hmm. more as stuff go, which is fine. That's not bad. That's good. That's not a bad thing. That is a great thing. And I'm fine with that. And I'd be fine with buying an American-made iPhone or American-made PC. Not even a problem. The hard part is that because I know how these companies work, and because I know how people, you know, deal with stuff and how people buy things, people freaked out when the iPhone was, you know, $700-$800 when it first came out, because they didn't understand that their cell phone company subsidized a good chunk of that.
Right.
They didn't understand that. They're just like, what do you mean? My other phone cost me like $200-$300. Like, well, not really. It doesn't. It's just you basically pay it, you know, for the next 2 years as this phone bill, because they want to keep you in the system. Because if you're in the system already and you're buying all their stuff and paying for their phones, it's going to be harder and harder for you to leave. And so a lot of it becomes this idea of going and saying, you know, as these things progress, as these things go forward, as technology moves, as it's going to, because that's just what happens. We're going to have to approach a lot of these problems differently. And even the people mm-hmm. who are angry and upset about a certain, you know, pointing a finger at a certain portion of the population as being at fault for these things, and pointing at a certain person for being at fault for these things, we're going to have to address this no matter who happens to be in office and who happens to be there, because it's going to come on quickly, you know, way faster than we'd like it to. And there's no stopping it now, because, you know, unless we somehow magically shut down capitalism, unless we somehow magically added this weird regulation that said, you know, only humans can work on X, Y, or Z, which would be a very strange thing and be a very weird regulation. Because there would be a lot of questions of like, well, you know, what counts as a human's job? Because even if you think of like in a very weird way, this is where it gets even stranger now. And I just thought about this, like even something like an ATM machine, you know, if you go to like banks,
right,
you know, sometimes they'll even say, just go to the ATM machine. It's faster and easier than talking to a human. And, yep. And you have online. You
know, most
you have,
people prefer not to talk yep. to humans.
Well, now we have banks like Capital One has a bank, you know, has part of their thing, the 360 banking, which you can't use a branch. Like you can't go to their branches to use it. Like
oh,
you can
wow.
only interact with your phone or a ATM.
And you think about like the major chains, like I know Walmart and some other mm-hmm. Major chains have, you know, you can check out on your own.
Self-checkout, yeah.
And you know what? You're going to want to use that self-checkout because the people that they hire are getting paid such shitty wages. They're overworked. They've got, you know, you go into a Walmart and there's 24 registers. One is open. And that person is moving so slow because they're being treated like shit by that corporation. So you don't blame them. You don't want to insult, you know, you just... You get through it, you get in line, or you go to the self-checkout and you get out a lot faster.
Yeah.
And it's such a weird fucking place. By the way, Tensor Guy in chat, he said the alternative to shitty factory work is shitty agricultural jobs. And that's like, I kind of feel like that's a little segue into another topic, if you want to go into that, of the fucking agricultural world that is so manufactured now. We don't yeah. have farms. We don't have farmers.
Well
there's no such thing as a farmer. And that's a show title.
Yeah.
Show title, no such thing as farmers.
There's such thing as a naughty farmer. That is a little joy from Flint Flossie.
Oh, I think we're doing Turk
characters in Ruby.
Naughty farmer.
Yeah, I will straight freaks. No, because but even that, like, you know, and right now we're at a point with certain agriculture that it's a lot easier to get a human to do it because we haven't made a machine to do it, which is fine. But then I go and say, well, we're slowly but surely progressing robots, and not just simply like robots that can do whatever. It's like, you know, we're at a point where Asimo, you know, that walking the robot that could walk downstairs, and it sounds ridiculous, or Asimo is the old version. You know, you watch some of these robots that are coming out of like you know all these like all these different like you know MIT and whatever, and there is, you know, that future where you could have a robot picking grapes isn't that far off either. And only because I say grapes, because I know from my brother's a sommelier and he's kind of watched wine
you're,
culture.
You're not going to say cotton.
Right. Well, no, because grapes are – well, the thing is with grapes is a lot of times machines don't do it right and they just haven't made a machine to do it correctly. You know, they can't tell ripeness. They can't tell that, whatever.
Good point.
But, again, this is the beauty part.
I've spent a lot of time in wineries.
And so there's a lot of things that go into picking the right grape and how to judge what that means. And if you could basically have a robot.
My heart's in Northern California.
You know, if you have basically a robot, an AI that you teach what a good grape looks like and that can see things that not even a human couldn't see, not just even like, oh, it looks ripe. It's like, well, it looks ripe. Based on how this certain light refracts through it, I can tell the juice content. I can see all these things. If you think of all those sort of stats, it could figure out to pick the perfect grape. You know, that's not far off either. And it's all these things you start to break down, and if you come from a certain perspective of tech and that all this stuff starts to add up very, very quickly as to how we're progressing, which is totally fine because that's what's going to happen. There's no stopping that. That's what I can't stress that enough. There's no stopping, you know, there's no stopping signal. There's no stopping progress. You know, it got kicked off when we had the locomotive, if you will, and it get kicked off even further when we have the self-driving car. But that's where we're going. And my brain now goes and thinks about all those things. And to know that a lot of this populist revolt, if you will, or result or you know, change in government came from this idea of like, we don't have our jobs. We don't have this. And, you know, you look at the polls, you look at the exit polls, you look at everything else, and a good chunk of people that voted for Donald Trump, you know, we're uneducated, we're, uneducated, you know, out of job white Americans. So just fine. I'm not – look, you chose your path in life and – you keep on going. And so you look at that, and you look at the people who are in that, and it's not. And again, I've had friends, parents who I know, like my mother's, some friends of our the family, they were voting for Trump, and they're medical doctors, so it doesn't, you know, it that doesn't span in all this, because again, my brain goes and thinks a good chunk of that voted for this, that wanted that change, for whatever the change was, or didn't like the change going on, that's fine. I don't know how they're going to handle the next change. What am I looking at? I'm looking at some other
puppet. It's John Stossel's.
Oh, well.
You might see more John Stossel. The government says that some of those people that were employed like their jobs.
Let's see. What?
No. So, you might see more of that.
Wasn't John Stossel on ABC back in the day? Didn't he actually do something important when back when?
I don't know. I can't remember. All he knows is he's a long time about his co-host Barbara Walters, and we'll just leave it at that.
But and that's true. Sorry. And it's great that they enjoy their jobs. I'm glad that they enjoyed them. and don't get me wrong.
We haven't even gone into the media.
Well, make no mistake, my job will be automated away too. It will be, and that's okay. Someone's going to make a smarter guy to watch, you know, watch network security and to analyze packets. Someone's going to make that, because it's not going to be hard. You know, we're coming to a point now where you're talking about the Internet of Things and that recent DDoS attack that happened, people hacking these sort of things, right?
Yeah. The day the Internet died, as we called it on DTNS.
And so people are talking about the idea of how do you make an aware, because again, the weird part of the way the Linux kernels developed is sort of that people are talking about how do you make a operating system that can actively fight attacks, that isn't just signature based things, that isn't just this, that isn't rule sets, but that can actively think that doesn't seem right, and you put that in perspective, and then you put that into everything else, and then you then have this really hyper smart network devices that are able to defend against attacks on their own, but not because you programmed them that way, but because they learned how to do them that way. And that's where a lot of the trend's going, is having things that learn your traffic patterns and learn your network connections. And I know it sounds weird to talk about that way, but that's what's happening in terms of tech. That's where a lot of these bigger, you know, security devices, bigger, you know, routers and switches and hubs that power what we like to call the backbone of the internet are doing. And so eventually my job will be automated away. And
actually, where was it? I'm not in the right chat there. Bob Kelly mentioned going to Mars will be a whole other thing. There's nothing to hurt or hunt or fish there. And I don't imagine you could grow plants or soil there. So that starts to make me think, Roberto, I will ask you.
Sure.
What do you think the politics will be like on Mars?
I think it's going to be far more interesting what the politics are going to be like when we start mining Mars or start mining asteroids. I'll explain why. Right now, as part of the thing, and I follow this guy online, this guy from Rooster Teeth, Joel Heyman, an amazing actor, a funny guy, but he's a very, very big in economics. He's actually been the eye opener for a lot of things. And when I did my trip to Japan, and then I heard him talking about certain things happening in Japan because of the yen and the dollar are very part of this whole weird economic thing, I started going, oh, I understand that now, which is fun. One of the things I thought about, because, you know, as of late, the two things that went up, if you bet on the right train, the two trains that you should have rid for the election to make some money was Bitcoin and gold. And Bitcoin basically is gold. It's digital gold, quite literally, because you have to mine the stuff, and there's only so much stuff to put it around. So let's take gold. Gold, obviously, there's a finite amount on Earth. You know, it's a very precious metal. It's used in a lot of things. As you start to look at asteroids out in the web, in the space, they have a lot of gold in them too. And then you have this giant resource of gold, this influx of gold, this influx of platinum, influx of things that we hold as precious metals that then become as common as copper to a certain degree. So I wonder how that will affect us, how that will affect economics as we have parties that say, you know, let's go back to the gold standard, as we have people that, you know, how does that affect? So a lot of that becomes – all this sort of culminates because, a lot of it for me when it comes to politics is that you have people – you have this sort of weird progress going in tech. And not all – and again, you know, and you have politics trying to figure out how do we make sure that progress in tech doesn't hurt everybody. You know, how do we make sure that progress in tech goes to everybody as best we can? You know, how do we address the idea of, well, now, you know, now we don't need people making stuff. How do we, you know, how do you address like the world of, the, you know, even having something as if you think of the prototype of the replicator as the 3D printer and how popular that's become. You know, you can ask Tensor Guy in the chat room specifically how much of a godsend, how much of a change just being able to say, well, I need to mock up something. Boop, brrr, done. And then you have this plastic thing that you can now experiment with and play with and do whatever with. And it's already done and it's made. And then you take that and extrapolate it to where you get to Star Trek, you know, world, and you're able to replicate whatever and make whatever at any time because it's able to do something with energy and make this thing disappear because it's, you know, of the science of it. I'm not saying that we're there yet. Obviously, we're a good chunk far away from there, but this part of humanity hasn't go away. This is part of humanity that we thought had gone away but hadn't. You know, or some people had you know, in certain pollings and certain media had thought it gone away, but didn't, because it never does, because it's part of, you know, it's part of us, as sick and sad as it sounds. You know, you have, you know, not just racism, because again, how do you destroy an idea? How do you destroy a belief? You don't. And so I go and say, like, I know these things are not simply these far off mysteries anymore. They're very quickly on the horizon. And I go, how are these people who obviously had a voice and who have a voice and want that voice to be heard, how are they going to handle that? And is that something we should be addressing? Is that something we should be talking about? Is that something that we should be discussing? Because you hear people talking about, I think Elon Musk had brought it up, the idea of a universal like paycheck or whatever, like the idea of, like, you know, every month you'd get a certain amount of funds, because we're coming to the point where, you know, jobs are going to be completely not erased, but just eliminated. And
yeah.
The idea of, and again, because that's where tech's going, and that's, I absolutely agree. And again, it'll be interesting when self-driving cars come into play and Uber and Lyft have to then, you know, we're just like, well, we can cut this many jobs and make our business that much more profitable. And it's a sick, sad truth. But sometimes that's what, you know, that's what the capitalists, you know, capitalism kind of puts out there.
Yeah. You know, I have a brother who I totally respect. He's also my attorney, as a disclaimer. and he and I have argued back and forth about Uber and the fact that, you know, he says, well, it's not good because the people who do Uber are not getting the full benefits, all of that stuff that you would get when you work for a taxi cab. However, I lived in cities like... well, of course, Los Angeles and some other areas, Miami and other places. But specifically, I remember when I lived in Sacramento. Sacramento had a mob mentality on the taxi companies that would take you to the fucking airport. And every weekend, I would have to go to the airport to go to Southern California. And it sucked. And the cab drivers were always late. I barely made my flight on time. And... you know, so I love the fact that someone can just start up a business by just setting up Uber if they have a nice car and they vacuum and clean it out and maybe spray some Febreze, and they're good to go.
So I should point out, because Ash in chat room is saying, but Uber wasn't meant to be a full-time thing. And she's absolutely right. It wasn't meant to be one. But that's not... But neither are any...
When people can't pay their rent and they can't get jobs... they're going to do this stuff for full time.
Let's see something. I'm going to Uber.com and go to.
So what are your thoughts on?
Well, here let me read Uber's things. What it says here: start driving with Uber. This is off their website. Yep. Work that puts you first. Drive when you want. Earn what you need. Set your own schedule. Earn more at every turn. Let the app lead the way. So apparently, you know, it's. You know, they talk about this like it's a full time thing, and their testimonials are full time drivers and stuff like that. And I think that's what's where my brain goes. That yes, it wasn't designed to, and absolutely right. But they sure as hell are advertising accordingly.
Well, there are people that need that full time.
Yep. Yeah, actually, a friend of the show, Chris Cox, used to be one. I think he's doing other things now.
Mm-hmm. But I took an Uber ride like an hour before our show.
Yeah, it happens. And it's, again, it's weird because it's just those – it's a lot of these things that I see and that aren't – that I'm not going to say are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, a lot of this election was me trying to understand that population of people, trying to figure out where do we go wrong, not how do we pull them forward, how do we get them to be here, how do we make sure that that doesn't happen? Because my brain goes, it's, you know, is seeing that mongrel horde, if you will, the I say that as a joke, but seeing the incoming, you know, the incoming forces, however you want to view it, right on the horizon, and that's not going to go away. And
I'm a 19th century Russian major, a graduate student. I totally get what you mean by that.
Yeah. And so I know that those aren't – it's not going to go bye-bye. And I don't – because I didn't like – because, again, I know that a lot of it came from fear, and fear is a very strange motivator.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and say, like, what's going to happen when there's no one left to blame? When there's nothing left to point, when you can, where someone, you know, what's going to happen when someone comes and says, I will make sure.
Here's Howard Jones. No one ever.
Well, because I wonder, like, what's going to be our next, what, you know, how close are we until a presidential candidate says, I will make sure robots don't take your jobs?
Oh my God, you're so right, Roberto. Fuck you.
That's what goes through my head, people. That's where the brain goes.
It's happening, dude. It's gonna fucking happen.
Because honestly, last night was basically a whole lot of watching Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas in the background. Because
dude,
that seemed...
why are you not watching Black Mirror? God,
because I have to pay attention to Black Mirror. Fear and Loathing actually, to be honest,
you don't have to pay attention.
Fear and Loathing centered me a lot more than you think. Because it's if you want to get really fun and interesting, look back, watch CNN's The 60s, at the documentary series.
Yeah.
And then come back to history, come back to reality, and see some things that become sort of like, oh, actually.
No, I don't need that. I have a graduate degree in American history, focusing on the 60s and the progressive era.
The real
19th century Russian history. So, yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
The real eye opener, and this is the last thing I'll say on that. The real eye opener actually.
Think that of me.
That's okay. The real eye opener actually, I'd watched ESPN's 30 for 30 on the USFL, the United States Football League. That's a very, very interesting documentary into the perspective of our president-elect. Mm. And it may answer some things for you if you're confused, and it may give you a bit more insight than you thought. But yeah, that is how... You know, that's where we're going, and that's interesting. Again, this election has been eye-opening in a lot of ways, and that was that has been definitely one of them, and definitely that. Jackie,
I think we killed our time.
Yeah, we killed our time. We're at the hour mark. Jackie, I realize we agreed not to talk politics, but we didn't talk about necessarily where we believe, and we didn't necessarily question anyone's belief. We just said,
no, that's fine.
You know, what's going to happen when we get there? That's the question I pose to you, audience. What will happen when the robots come to take your jobs? And how will you react? Remember this now and figure out where you stand, because that's not going to, you know, it's not going to be far along. You know, it won't be long now until we have a presidential candidate saying on as their platform, I promise to not let robots take your jobs. Jackie Hearn, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Where can people find you online? Because you were talking about this Black Mirror thing.
Yeah, a Black Mirror podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Black Mirror Reflections. We are getting a ton of downloads and people following. I might actually have somebody involved in the show as a guest soon.
Ooh.
What the fuck? Like, this is happening for me as a fan cast show. You know, I've got a million fan casts. I do one on Better Call Saul, which mm-hmm. I wish I could I could get someone from that. But that's
like Bob gives you a call. Hey, Jackie, it's Bob Odenkirk.
I would fucking scream. No. But yeah, no, you can follow me at JackieHearn81 on Twitter. I you know, or just go to JackieHearn.com for all my shenanigans. But tonight, if I didn't have to wait for an Uber right before the show that took a little long, I would have had my Patreon up. I really, 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 really want to start this puppet Patreon thing. And it's not a Patreon where you pay me month after month after month after month. It's something where I get to a goal and then I want to reach out to you, Diamond Club, and get those people who do VFX CGI stuff and like a design and other things. Let's do a little nice little short video, a short film, and put that in people's faces. So yeah. So patreon.com/JackieHearn. It will be up tonight. And Roberto, thank you so much for having me on.
Not a problem. Of course you can find me.
When you say I'm not going to talk politics, and then you do the whole show where we talk about nothing about politics.
Well, we talked more about future politics. How about that? We talked about politics.
We definitely had a futuristic
I look at the long, you know, because I study a lot of history as of late. I look at the long tail as much as I can. And I
enjoy the shit out of talking to you.
Well, because again, a lot of it for me was more of a, okay, I know where I live now. I know what the scene is now. What's going to happen when this starts to drop? Because that's going to be the next problem to address, and we should start addressing it now and start figuring out the answers now while we have time, while there's still time, while there's still time.
Oh shit! I don't have Doc Brown.
Okay, Doc Brown can't help us now. The unless you follow the game canon, if the game is canon, the game series is canon, then yes, the DeLorean still exists. And while yes, never mind. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404. There are the Twitters. If you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to the show notes, previous episodes, our Twitter account, which is at 8bitlife podcast, and everything else in between. And if you want to help this podcast grow bigger, better, and more awesome, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and throw a few shekels, view bitcoins, whatever currency you tend to use.
Wait, that's patreon.com/what?
8bitlife.
8bitlife.
Yes, of course. Do you can it, go people. There. And you can all, and if you prefer, you know, we accept every type of fictional and real currency. Mm-hmm. So that's it for today. Until next time, we talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
Bye.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.